الله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين، وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى، وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
We were talking about the practical tips in the path of the purification, and I mentioned in the previous Thursday, as I was recapping on the discussion that we were having on the subject before the month of Muharram started, and we talked about the issue of the one of the points was giving importance to the ziyarat of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam. Which is actually a great value that we stand for, and a value which basically protects our entire religion and continues the link and connection with the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam alive. And ziyarat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is not just a regular istihbab, but it is mustahabun muakkad, having a lot of emphasis and ta'keed, and it's iconic for the religion. So our religion is known and is surviving because of that, and it symbolizes the entire religion of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So especially Imam Hussein alayhi salam ziyarat, which is having much more thawab as the ziyarat and much more importance as compared to the ziyarat of anyone else. Although we have ahadith about Imam Ridha alayhi salam ziyarat in the same way that whoever goes for the ziyarat of Imam Ridha alayhi salam has the thawab for the ziyarat of, you know, we have a hadith like that, you know, for some of the atabat, that if you go to that ziyarat, you get the thawab of ziyarat of Karbala. So basically, Karbala ziyarat is symbolic for Islam. And it's not without a reason that the oppressive rulers throughout the history have been particularly trying to sabotage this value and to stop or to put obstacles in the way of this ziyarat specifically. So Imam Hussain alayhi salam's haram have been going through some of the harshest behaviors from Tahuts throughout the history for a reason. Obviously they are all Ahlul Bayt are part of one Noor, and visiting one equals to visiting the other, and the thawab is, you know, is the same. But especially Imam Hussain alayhi salam's importance of ziyarat symbolizes the entire religion. Maybe ihtimalan, because one of the reasons, because it displays a very clearly unambiguous policy, a very clear and unambiguous policy of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam towards Zulm, which there is no room for anybody to misinterpret what Imam Hussain alayhi salam's sacrifices and what he did towards the Tahut of his time, and that message of his sacrifice is loud and clear. And one of the reasons the enemies are afraid, because they don't want the masses to get back to the sacrifice of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, which will endanger their very existence. In the hardest of the times in the history, we don't find any mujtahid of our religion ever giving a fatwa to block the ziyarat. Although we have our clear fatawa in our sharia that you have to protect your life, hifz-e-jaan, you know, protecting your life is wajib in Islam. And despite the fact you see so much going on against the ziyarat of Karbala, so many tahuts stopping the Shias from the ziyarat throughout the history, you still never find in the time of Mutawakkil, when he used to cut the hands of the people going for ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Can you imagine? You are, cutting your finger is haram in Islam. That's al-izrar al-nafs, you know, inflicting harm on your own self, which is a qa'idatun kulliyah. It's a general principle that's haram in Islam. You ask any mujtahid, I grab a knife and I cut like this on my finger, is it allowed? Everybody would say it's inflicting harm. Al-idraru ala nafs, inflicting harm on your own self, which is haram. And that's why suicide is also haram in Islam, because this is one of the mistaq of harming your own self. Al-idraru ala nafs, which is haram. It's a general principle. But the same sharia which says like this, you don't find our mujtahids and our sharia stopping the people from going to Karbala. We never find Imam Askari alayhi salam stopping the Shias from the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam when Mutawakkil was cutting the hands. You don't find any hadith from Imam Hasan al-Askari alayhi salam saying to the Shia community, stop going to Karbala now, because now your hands are cut. No, this has to be protected and maintained at every cost. Ziyarat of Karbala is such an uncompromisable value that we have to keep it. Otherwise the whole religion would shatter. Nothing of tashayyu would remain if Imam Hussain alayhi salam's ziyarat does not remain. So this is why our ulama of akhlaq have been emphasizing specifically as we are discussing taharat of the qalb and tazkiyatun nafs, but they are emphasizing on the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. So it carries a lot of weight. You don't find probably any of those great personalities of our religion and our urafa, Ahlul Ma'rifat, who doesn't recite the ziyarat of Ashura. Even if you just go on the rooftop and you cannot read the ziyarat of Ashura, you can just go on the top of the roof of your house and say, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, As-salamu alayka wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. These two sentences will give you the reward of one Hajj and one Umrah. It's in the Mu'tabar Hadith. If you say these two sentences, go to the rooftop of your house and say these two sentences, If you cannot make, you cannot make it to Karbala, we can all do and say these two sentences. We get the thawab of one Hajj and one Umrah for two sentences. This is about the importance of Imam Hussain alayhi salam in the eyes of Allah. And also the next point, the ninth point was Al-Muhafaza ala Huquq al-Ikhwan. That means being particular on taking care of the rights of our fellow mu'min brothers, specifically qada'ul hawa'ij, that means fulfilling their hajat and needs. Whenever a mu'min person comes to you for his need, it is never appropriate for another mu'min to reject it. In whatever possible way, you don't have to have money to help another mu'min. You know, there are always ways where we can help out in various possible ways. In the incident that you have heard already, when Imam Hassan alayhi salam was doing the was doing the tawaf of the Kaaba, and in the middle this mu'min comes and says that I need some money. You know, I'm indebted. I have qarz and loan that I have borrowed. Imam Hassan alayhi salam, first he said to him, you know, I don't have the money. Something, you know, ma asbahu wa indi shay, mazmoon al kalam, you know, something like that. You know, I don't have the money. So he said, okay, if you don't have the money, you can at least go to this person from whom I borrowed the money, and at least say to him and borrow some time for me. This you can do. And as soon as Imam Hassan al-Islam heard that, he quit his tawaf in the middle and he started to walk with this person. And Abdullah ibn Abbas was there at Kaaba, and he said to Imam Hassan al-Islam that you were doing tawaf. In the middle of the tawaf, you don't even finish your tawaf and you just walk away like that. So this is the way we find the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam have been giving importance. So every mu'min has importance. Qada hajat al mu'min, fulfilling the hajat of a mu'min, is more important than you know, than the entire hajj. What to talk about one tawaf? It's more important than the entire hajj. You put the hajj on one side, you put the umrah on one side, and the hajat of one mu'min at one side, it has more value and wazn in the eyes of Allah as your entire hajj. Remember what I mentioned once earlier, Muhaddis Nuri. Muhaddis Nuri is the author of the famous book Al-Lu'lu wal-Marjan, and also Al-Mustadrak al-Wasail. Mustadrak al-Wasail is another great book of our hadith, which is authored by Muhaddis An-Nuri. Muhaddis Nuri is the ustaz of Shaheed Mutahari, rahmatullah alayh. So Muhaddis Nuri has said that I did not find in the entire hadith. He's a great muhaddis. They interact with ahadith. That's their expertise. He said in the whole akhbar and all the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, I did not find any mustahab thing which has more sawab than the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Of course it's not wajib, it's mustahab. But I could not find anything which has more sawab than the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Except there's one thing only. There's only one thing which has more sawab than the ziyarat, and that is fulfilling the hajat of a mu'min. It has more sawab than the ziyarat of Imam Hussain. You know, like one of the teachers was saying, you know, this guy was reading Salatul Ghufayla, which, you know, we read, it's mustahab to say, you know, after the Maghrib prayers, we read Salatul Ghufayla. You know, a lot of sawab. And a very rich person, and this person comes to him and says, you know, such and such mu'min has a heart surgery, and he badly needs money for his support, and he said, oh, don't bother my Salatul Ghufayla, you know, this. So there are people who have this kind of understandings of Islam, which they fail to realize that your Salatul Ghufayla cannot make you qareeb and muqarrab towards Allah if you are ignoring what Allah has said. So this is about the huquq of the mu'mineen. Al-mu'minu a'zamu hurmatan min al-ka'ba. One mu'min has more respect and hurmat than the Kaaba. You know, we are talking about a mu'min which is obviously more respectable. I remember one of my one of the teachers was telling us a story that this mu'min passed away, and he saw him in the dream after he passed away, and he said, "How's your situation in the qabr, in the barzakh?" And he said, "Well, what I did, I was walking by a river and there was a dog drowning in the river, and I thought I should save his life, and I went into the river and I saved the dog and I brought him out of the river." And he said that act helped me a lot in the barzakh. So saving a dog is also, sawab in Islam. We are not here to kill the animals. Islam has all the ahkam and adab about how we are supposed to deal with the animals. They are all abid and musabbih and zakir and hamid. They are all doing the ibadat of Allah and doing tasbih of Allah and doing, the hamd of Allah and doing the zikr of Allah. So there's nothing wrong with the animals. The animals are doing very well. They are behaving perfectly as commanded. So it's not allowed in Islam to kill an animal without any justifiable reason. So saving an animal's life helps you and gives you reward. What to talk of helping out a mu'min who believes in the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. The next thing which is emphasized is tark, leaving the manhiyat, that means the ma'asi and the sins. Well, sins are obviously nothing but the it equals to getting burnt with the hellfire's flames. And the root cause of the sins is nothing but the jahl. Precisely. We, as sinners, I'm talking about myself, when we do the sins, it's because of the ignorance. If we knew the impact and the haqiqat and reality, we would never do that. So sins are performed by us because of our ignorances and because we fail to realize what is the haqiqat and reality of the sin and what impact it provides straight away, not on the day of judgment only, which is for sure, but straight away. I mean, straight away is a very important point to remember as we discuss the concept of sins, because in Islam we believe rightfully that the athar of the ahkam are takwiniya. When we say the athar al ahkam are takwiniya, it means if you do a good thing, the impact is like a built-in impact. It is bound to happen. If you do a bad thing, it's like a built-in impact. It's bound to happen. It comes with it. This is asarun takwini. Now it's up to Allah to reverse the asarun takwini with His lutf. That's up to Allah. So, and it's His lutf that He reverses it when we perform the tawbah. Otherwise, it has already happened. Like if I do the ghibat, I have already eaten up the flesh of my dead brother. There were people who used to smell the bad smell coming from the mouth of those who do the ghibat. Where does the smell come from? So what I'm trying to say is that athar and the impacts of the sins are takwini, which means whenever we do a sin, the impact which is which we have been told happens then and there, and it comes immediately with that action. Just like you cut a knife, the apple gets divided into two pieces then and there. It has happened. Now, we may not discover it, we may not see it. That's because of our ignorances and the hijabat of sins, that we don't see it. Not seeing it, not witnessing it, is the shortfall from our part. But the asar of every sin is takwini. That means it happens straight away. So if a person breaks away from his relatives, asar on takwini is that he's going to have a short life, short lifespan. It's going to happen. So don't complain if somebody has a short lifespan because he break away from his relatives. This is asar on takwini. You cannot deny it. You give away sadaqah, your 70 bala will be removed. That's the mu'tabar hadith of Rasulullah. So the bala has to be terminated. That's the asar on takwini. Like Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was there, and he said about one person passing in front of him, you know, that he predicted about that person that he's going to die. And he was with some of his ashab and companions. As they were present, this person passed away. After a short while, he came back and he was alive. And his ashab, his companion, said to him, you just said that he's going to die, although he's coming back alive. And then he asked, you know, to find out what's there in his bag. He had a bag carrying over his shoulder, over his back. He was carrying a bag. So this person of his ashab, of the companions of Hazrat Isa, this person went forward. He opened up the bag, and they opened up the bag, and they find out there is a snake. There's a snake inside the bag. He's carrying a bag, and there's inside the bag, there's a snake hiding. And Hazrat Isa alayhi salam informed, this snake was supposed to bite him. Now ask him, what did he do on his way? In other words, he said, yes, when I was walking, going, I found a poor person and I gave the sadaqah. Because he gave the sadaqah, that bala is now removed. The snake is still there. He would have bitten him, but he did not because of the sadaqah. So every good deed and bad deed has an asarun takwini, has an inbuilt impact which is bound to happen. Not that we will be burnt in the hellfire when we will be thrown after the day of judgment happens. That's for sure, obviously. But that's not the only place where we will get burnt. We get burnt here as well. So we will realize that we were burnt on the day of judgment. This is the right statement. We will realize that we will get burnt. So when we remove the curtain, if we are able to remove the curtains of sins right now, we will realize that right now, here. People have been, our scholars, there were some great scholars who used to see this person doing tawbah, and because of his tawbah, he comes out of the hellfire and again enters into the heaven, the Jannat. So even the athar and signs of getting burnt are visible on his body and soul. You know, he doesn't see none of those things. But there were scholars who used to see even those micro details of the sins. So we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened the door of tawbah. He never shuts the door of tawbah. He is always ready to forgive. He is arhamur rahimin. And not just that, he forgives all the sins. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Allah does not forgive, if somebody associates partner with him. In other words, he doesn't forgive that sin. Otherwise, he forgives everything other than that for whom he wishes. So Allah is ready to forget all the sins other than the shirk. So, and not just that, but he loves the tawwabin. And look at the mercy of Allah. Inna Allaha yuhibbu tawwabin. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 222. Allah loves those who are tawab. So we are supposed to do tawbah frequently. I mean, obviously we are not masoom. Sins happen. So when the sins happen, we always do the tawbah immediately. In the hadith it says, "Innal mu'mina mufattanun tawab," and this has been interpreted in the tafsir that mufattanun tawab means is constantly put to test and fitna and test by Allah. A mu'min happens to fall in different harams in his life. And tawab, that means he performs a lot of tawbah. Tawab is the sighatul mubalagha, tense of exaggeration. He performs a lot of tawbah. So every moment is supposed to be like this, except until you reach the high levels of iman, when of course we stop doing the sins totally. We have perfect control of our nafs and desires. So in the initial stages, that's how a mu'min is. We may end up doing the sins, but as soon as we do it, we again do the tawbah. We may again end up doing the sin, but we again do the tawbah. That's still okay. If we do the tawbah correctly according to its condition, it's still okay. Also the tarku shubahat, that means leaving the confused things. Shubahat means those of the instances where we are confused to apply the rulings. Well, shubahat happen for us because of our ignorances. For those who have the ilm, they don't have the shubahat. Shubha is because of our lack of knowledge. But that's the way our knowledge is. Our knowledge is limited. So we always can possibly encounter shubahat in various matters of life. So we need to choose the path which is against the desires, and choose the path which is against our wishes, and the path which is pleasing Allah, as an ihtiyat and precaution. Shubahat serve like a boundary, just like mustahabbat serve like a boundary for wajibat, just like a makruhat serve like a boundary for muharramat. If we avoid the makruhat, we will never end up doing the harams. If we perform the mustahab things, we will never end up leaving a wajib in our life. Mustahabbat are a boundary, a hisar, the wajibat. So likewise, tark of shubhat, leaving the confused things, is serving as a precautionary measure from wuqu'ul halakat, wuqu' fil muharramat, from falling into the harams in our life. The next point, which was related to this subject, was leaving tarku ma la ya'ni, leaving what doesn't concern our lives. In our lives, we are not supposed to pay attention and spend our time in things which are... Time is limited. Life is short. Priorities should be there. We have to prioritize our activity, deciding what is aham, more important, and leaving what is muhim. Man talaba ma la ya'nihi fatahu ma ya'nihi. Whoever seeks what doesn't concern him will miss what concerns him. So if we spend our time in things which are not concerned, we will be basically doing that at the cost of leaving more important issues which are concerning our lives, but we did not pay importance because we mess up in the priority. So this is a very important, seems to be a simple, but it's a very important issue in Tazkiyatun Nafs, because Islamic Ummah, there are so many people in the Ummah who are busy in la ma la ya'ni, things which are not related, not concerned to the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, things that's not concerned to the izzat and sharaf of Islam, things that's not concerned to the priority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they are busy in those things, spending money in huge amounts on things and projects which are less important or least important, at the cost of ignoring things which are more important. This is again returning, it returns back to the level of knowledge that we gain about Islam, and later level of understanding of the religion. Inna ladina taqaw idha massahum ta'ifatun min ash-shaytan tadhakkaru fa idha hum mubsirun wa ikhwanuhum yamuddunahum fil ghayy thumma la yuqsirun. Suratul A'raf, verse 201 and 202. So we learn in light of this verse that the muttaqi people are such, whenever shaitani khiyal and ideas and thoughts come in their minds, they remember Allah, tazakkaru, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they become agah and basir, they gain basirat, they become aware, get the insight. And وَإِخْوَانُهُمْ يَمُدُّونَهُمْ فِي الْغَيِّ. And of course there are people who will draw you towards the misguidance, towards error, towards the fault, and they don't spare any harm. So basically remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and getting out of the ghaflat is the recipe for this stage. So when we remember Allah and we avoid the stage of ghaflat, that's where we will learn the insight into the religion, and we will avoid those people who are basically just wasting our times in whatever name and label, maybe in very sweet sounding labels of Islamic services. But at the end of the day, if it is harming what is more important, it's not what Allah likes to happen. Just like the the common example that I always give to the brothers when we talk about Aham and Muhim, I always give this example that if you have a fire in your house and you have to go for your job as well, and you have your baby who is hungry demanding for milk, now which of the three things you would do earlier? Of course, going for a job is also wajib, because we make money from halal for a respectable living. Feeding the baby is also wajib in Islam. Baby is going to die if you don't feed. That's also wajib. And protecting your house from the fire that it has caught is wajib, because that's the money, that's your wealth. We need to protect our wealth from halal. Isn't that right? Man qutila duna malihi fahuwa shaheed. The hadith says whoever is killed protecting his wealth is shaheed. In other words, if you get killed because you are protecting your wealth, you are shaheed. Man qutila duna malihi fahuwa shaheed. So we need to protect our property as well. That's also wajib. We need to go for a job. We're making money from halal is jihad fi sabilillah. Feeding the baby is also wajib. There are three wajibs. Which one we do first? That's the very common example I always give to the brothers when we discuss Aham and Muhim. To the problem with these scenarios, and I will end the speech here, the problem with these scenarios is that there are people who continue to think that we are not doing any haram. This is the problem that you face when you are trying to make the people understand the importance of Aham and more important, so that they ignore the Muhim, less important. So the problem you face is that people may come and say to you, well, we are not doing any haram. See, I'm going for a job. I'm not doing a haram. I'm not selling alcohol. Well, it's true. You think you're doing a haram, not doing a haram. You're doing a wajib, because going to job is wajib in Islam as well. But you are failing to understand the point that going for your job at the time when the fire has caught your house and you were supposed to first extinguish your fire before going to the job. At that time, if you make the wrong choice of going towards the job, that going was not wajib in Islam at that time. Instead, it was haram. Why? Because it was mutasabim. It was colliding with another more important wajib from Allah. And whenever a less important wajib collides with a bigger important wajib, this less important wajib becomes haram for us to do. This is what some people forget. And they continue to say, we're not doing a haram. This is about the understanding of the religion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand and to practice the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wa al-Muslimin. Wakhdul al-Kuffara wa al-Munafiqeen. Allahumma ansur man nasar al-Din. Wakhdul man khadal al-Muslimin. Allahumma ansur wa ahfaz wa ayyid ulama'ana al-Rabbaniyin. Wa maraji'ana al-Rabbaniyin. نصيم الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين